Chapter 16. Luna City. Callie's shoulder ached. She rolled away from it, pressed herself a little deeper into the pillow, and resisted the dread rise of consciousness. She tried to keep her thoughts soft and blurry and vague. Someone poked her again. "Come on, get up." She sighed, admitted she was awake, and rolled over. Jake straightened up and stepped as far back from the bed as he could. Osiris caretakers had a reserved room on Upper Selene for when they were in town on business, but Callie couldn't think of a single aspect of it that didn't deserve the title small. Small floor plan, small bed, small table, small closet, small shower. After 7 hours of patrolling the boulevards and calming anxious tourists, it had felt luxurious. "Mayor Gathol wanted more proof," Jake said. "Oh, Jesus, seriously?" She sat up fast enough that her momentum lifted her off the mattress. "You mean she still hasn't called for an evac?"
"No. Gordon's about a step away from locking her up and taking control. But honestly, he's just as scared about all this as she is."
"Why can't we call?"
She slapped down a communications blackout. "Everything has to go through her office."
"She can't do that."
"Did. Claims it's to keep channels clear for emergency communications."
"Oh, for fuck's sake."
He let out a snort. "Anyway, they wanted something to show the Discorp execs, convince them this is all real. Doc Thavis is going to perform an autopsy on some of the bodies. The moving ones."
"Why?"
"To make sure they're dead."
"Seriously?"
Jake pulled off his baseball cap and ran his fingers back through his hair. "Don't know about you, but when we get out of this, I wouldn't mind having a pile of corroborating evidence that says we didn't just murder a bunch of people and call it a zombie attack."
"Fair point. Thanks for saying when."
"No problem." "So we raided the mortuary." She swung her legs around and sat on the edge of the bed.
"Why didn't you wake me up?"
"You were dead on your feet. You needed the sleep."
"Did Izmi go with you?"
He shook his head. "No, I wouldn't let her."
"Did you see?"
"Yeah." He took a deep breath, dragged a small chair over from the small table, and sat down next to the bed. "He's one of the ones we got."
"No."
"Yeah. Wanted the little mortician, the one with the funky hair, but she was pretty beat up. Think she'd been slamming herself against the door since we locked them in there, and then one of Gordon's guys had to put her down hard. We needed two that were more intact for the autopsy, examination, whatever you want to call it."
"So they're going to cut Wagid?"
Jake cut her off. "It's not him. Don't even think that way. It's just another client that got up for some reason."
Callie pressed her palms against her eyes, took in a breath, let it out. "Okay. Yeah."
She let her hands drop into her lap and looked at him.
"And you're telling me this because?"
"Because I've been up for 28 hours and somebody needs to be down there with Izmi. Somebody who'll stay calm and keep her calm." She coughed out a small laugh.
"And that's me?"
"Sucks to be competent, doesn't it?"
"Good at everything except the stuff I want to be."
She slid off the mattress and stepped past him.
"When are they starting?"
"Half an hour, I think." He rolled out of the chair and took her place on the bed.
"Great."
"Call me if anything comes up."
"I will, even though you didn't."
He yawned and stretched out on his stomach, half burying his face in the pillow. "Yeah, I'm a real jerk that way." She glanced back at him as the door slid open.
"Sorry if it smells like me."
"I've smelled worse." Callie had buried more than 1,000 clients at this point, but they just came across as inanimate objects hidden in their coffin bags, and the people in the plaza could have been asleep if he ignored all the blood. Wagid's skin didn't look like normal client skin. The few she'd seen had been primped and styled and painted to look their best when they came to the moon, and often got touch-ups in the mortuary. Her boss had been left on the floor for the better part of a day. Of course, he hadn't stayed on the floor. Wagid's head drifted from side to side, examining everyone in the room. Callie, Doc Davis, an assistant whose name Callie hadn't caught, and Izmi. She stood to the side, growing still every time the dead thing that had been her husband paused to stare at her before moving on to the next person. Wagid, the thing that had been Wagid, leaned and flexed against the straps holding it down. Almost half a dozen stretched back and forth across the body. They pressed down on forehead and chest, waist and thighs, knees and ankles. A quartet of white sensor patches decorated his chest. Next to Wagid, nylon straps pinned a second zombie to the other exam table. The dead woman's hair was cropped short on one side, grown out long on the other. One of her eyes had rolled up into her head with just a faint crescent of iris on display. Her lack of clothes let Callie see where the funeral makeup ended, a swirling line where her warmly shaded flesh faded abruptly to a dull ivory. A few sensors decorated her torso as well. Neither of the dead people made a noise as they struggled. No groans or breaths or snapping at the air with their teeth. They watched the humans and twisted beneath their straps without sound. Constant, silent movement. Callie took a step closer to Izmi.
You okay with this?
It's what needs to happen.
Her eyes didn't leave the dead man.
It's just a body now. Just a client.
Callie took another step, put herself between Izmi and the zombie.
It's not just a client. You don't need to be here. He wouldn't want you to see him like this.
Their eyes met.
It's not him,
she said.
I need to know that. We do know.
Why don't you go get some sleep?
I'm a caretaker,
Izmi said.
I'm head caretaker now. I can deal with this.
She stepped to the side, and her gaze slid back to the examination tables. Dr. Thavis stood a few meters away. She took a thin scalpel from her tray, then stepped toward the tables.
I'm going to get started.
The room hears everything, so if you don't want it on record, don't speak.
Izmi took a deep breath. Callie settled in next to her. Thavis swiped at an icon on her tab and cleared her throat.
First subject is an Asian female. Mortuary records identify her as Edith Pausong of Tulsa, Oklahoma. Date and place of death is listed as 9 days ago in Sand Springs, Oklahoma. Age 28 at time of death, height 162 centimeters, weight 49.5 kilograms. Please note accompanying sensor log showing subject's vitals, or lack thereof, during this exam.
She stared down at the writhing figure, then pressed her fingers against the dead woman's neck. Callie silently counted to 8, before Thavis moved her fingers to the pale wrist. Another 8 count. The doctor pulled a stethoscope from her pocket, pressed the disc against the woman's bare chest, just below the branch of the Y incision.
Just to confirm, she said to the room. Despite physical activity, the subject has no pulse. None. No heartbeat registered manually or on the EKG.
Physical activity? Asked the nurse.
I've been thinking for an hour now about how I was going to phrase most of this.
Thavis slid a thin tube from her pocket, clicked the end, and aimed the light into the zombie's left eye.
Pupils are fixed and dilated. No response at all.
She slid a different tool from the tray and glanced at her tab.
Instruments confirm body temperature is 21.3 degrees, a full degree below current room temperature.
She aimed the tool at the side of the dead woman's head and sprayed a jet of water into her ear. Callie counted to 30 before the doctor adjusted the tool and shot another stream into the same ear.
Subject 1 shows absolutely no caloric reflex, Pavas told the room.
Callie raised her hand cautiously.
What's that mean? It's an involuntary response. Even if they're comatose, people's eyes react to water in the ear canal.
Pavas stepped down along the table, and the dead woman's fingers grasped at the air as she passed.
I'm going to skip the rest of Subject 1's external examination since the body's already been cleaned and measured. She's dropped half a kilo since her initial exam, possibly just fluid loss during embalming. Also, the soles of her feet are dirty, presumably from walking around since then. Subject 1 has also already undergone an internal examination. Standard Y incision. Glue has yellowed slightly, indicating the exam probably took place over 7 days ago.
Another instrument from the tray. The scalpel's blade shined white in the exam room. Davis pressed a hand against the dead woman's arm, pulling the flesh tight, and slid the blade down to the elbow. She moved just past the grasping fingers and did the same thing on the woman's thigh. Gray, watery liquid leaked out onto the table from the wounds. Edith Pausong, formerly of Tulsa, never flinched.
Confirming Subject 1 has been embalmed, only trace amounts of blood, definite presence of formaldehyde.
Davis handed the scalpel to the nurse, who tossed it into the medical recycler. She walked around to the second table.
Subject 2 is Waqid Nasir, 46, former head caretaker of Osiris Base, previously of Cairo, Egypt. Lunar positioning systems recorded time of death as 18:42 p.m. yesterday in the Luna City mortuary, 195 centimeters, 83 kilograms.
She checked Waqid's body for a pulse, shined her light in his eyes, sprayed water into his ear. Izmi only flinched once as Davis read off all the negative responses. Callie felt a sharp pressure in her fingers. Izmi had grabbed her hand at some point and squeezed. A half dozen platitudes slipped through Callie's mind, but she just squeezed back. Davis pressed gently against Waqid's face, shifting his lips and nose. The zombie glared up at her from beneath the straps.
Subject 2's nose is broken. There's bruising on the nose, cheeks, and lips. It's consistent with the reported smothering.
The exam table glowed for a beat, and Davis checked a nearby screen.
X-ray confirms cervical fracture at C5 to C6. Definite damage to the spinal cord, although it's not severed.
Callie's fingers ached again. Davis took a fresh scalpel from the tray and walked down to Waqid's feet. She tapped the flat of the blade against the dead man's purple, swollen ankles.
Lividity is entirely within the feet and legs, most pronounced below the knees. This would fit reports that Subject 2 has also been physically active since the time of death.
The scalpel shifted in her hand, and she slid it down the sole of the foot. Thick, jelly-like blood oozed out onto the table. She watched it spread into a slow puddle around the heel.
Coagulation is what we'd expect for the time frame since death.
Callie and Izmi's tabs both chimed. Izmi glanced down at her wrist, at Callie, and then back at the creeping puddle of thick blood. Callie spread her fingers, releasing the other woman's hand, and took a few steps back. She turned into a corner and lifted her tab.
Go ahead, Tessa. Are you ever in the hospital? Yeah, the doctor's working on Waqid. Oh, can you come over to the sheriff's office? We're trying to plan something. Let me check with Izmi, or do you need her too?
Muffled voices came through the tab.
If she wants to stay, I think that's okay for now.
Izmi had turned slightly to listen, but continued to watch the examination.
I would prefer to stay.